It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor, back in the studio.
Lee, good to see you. Happy Hanukkah. First, or what, second night
Let
tonight?
The latkes fly.
That's right. Are you doing anything special?
No, we did Hanukkah.
You did it last night?
Absolutely. Wasn't it the first night?
Yes, it was. I didn't do anything.
Well, you know, that just shows you.
I didn't
do
it.
Religious
it's, not that, it's not that big a deal. Except for,
really?
I heard this morning on AOL, I heard Mattis Yahoo explain the
who?
That rapper guy. You like, you know how you like rap music? You
yes.
like, what,
oh,
Eminem?
He's the Jewish rapper, yeah.
Jewish rap, the Hasidic yeah. Jew guy yeah. that's a
he's
rapper?
He's good. I like him.
Really?
I've heard his rap.
And you like his stuff?
Yeah, it was
why?
Funny.
Why do you like
funny.
It?
He's got a good...
No, because you know about rap, so why do you like his raps rather than...
I think that it's good to hear the different ethnic music.
Uh-huh.
With
but
rap.
Isn't the rap... It's still the same rap, but it's what
you
they're
know,
saying?
It's just funny.
Oh, is
it's
he
a goof?
Is he funny? Like
no,
is his
he's
message?
Serious,
fu- he's serious, but it's funny,
funny
to you,
right? Exactly.
Well, he was talking about the.
What was he on? Stern?
No, he was on AOL. He was on like it was like you pull up AOL. You know how I still have an AOL account, and it was one of those things where he was explaining the miracle of Hanukkah.
That's good.
And in a cool way, he was really insightful. I really enjoyed his little thing, but. Did you get any holiday presents yet? Any Hanukkah?
We don't. I mean, the adults don't get presents in our house. Not like your house.
Yeah, everybody gets presents
exactly,
in my house.
Of course.
And how was your Thanksgiving? I haven't seen you since... We didn't do the show last week. We were
well,
off.
We did a show. We pre-recorded.
That's
a
right.
Show
we pre-recorded and we released it, but we were actually not
long
in the studio.
Gone. Yes.
Yes. So what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
Just at the house. You know, Popeye's turkey, the usual.
How was that? How'd that fly?
Awesome.
The turkey was
awesome.
Good?
Awesome.
Now, you went to the Popeyes, picked it up, and
yes.
Is there ever, like, a hassle, ever a problem?
Sometimes they don't have it. They sell out.
Oh, you have to get there
get
on
get there
time?
Get there early. No, you cook it. They give, come
oh,
to
they
you frozen.
Oh, okay. It's a frozen thing. Then but you, sometimes okay. they're sold out of the frozen
yes.
ones? So what has that ever happened to you?
No, we get it early.
Like, what time do you wake up to get the turkey?
No, we get it weeks before.
Oh, okay. But is there, like, a special... Like, is there, like, an advertisement on their site
no,
or something?
No, it's on the down low. This is a need-to-know basis.
So this is not published other than
no.
the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy radio show? That
you have to
you
know
have to
somebody.
Go? Oh, and you tell somebody?
I've told a bunch of people.
Now, when you walk into a Popeye's chicken, I kind of assume that you're...
That's my favorite fast food chicken.
Right, but I assume that when you walk in there's not a lot of other guys like you in there. Is
there's
that right?
There's plenty of fat guys. There's plenty of fat guys.
Is there a special language that you speak when you go into Popeye's?
A little Cajun. A little Cajun.
A little Cajun spice. So you cooked up your turkey and it was all good?
All good.
How many people came over for the holidays?
We just had my wife's sister and her kids.
Oh, they eat a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so
you know what's perfect? They like dark meat.
And you don't like that.
It's
I
perfect.
Like white meat.
Exactly.
Me too. I don't like it.
Dark. Look, I don't want any of this white meat. I'm like, yeah. Game on.
And
go for it.
And they like the drumstick or whatever? The,
yeah.
The wings? I hate that. It's so,
like a waste.
Ugh, it's
I
terrible.
Just want the breast.
Me too. I just want... I don't want to work hard. I want it just ready to eat.
Exactly.
Chop it. And
ready
I'm
for a sandwich.
Go. Ready for a sandwich. Absolutely. And how big a turkey did you guys get?
Well, it only comes in one size. It's like 12 pounds.
Oh. We had two.
Of course you did.
We had two small ones.
Because the chaffron's
no,
go,
I heard
go big get, or go home.
No. I heard the best way to go is to make two small ones. You get actually more
yeah.
for your money.
So what's a small one look like? Probably 12 pounds is small for you guys.
I don't know. Might have been 12.
That is.
I don't know. Look, I have nothing to do. The only thing that I do about Thanksgiving and turkey is that it's on my plate. You know, my wife's like, you should learn how to carve that so we can make one at home. I'm like, I'm
Wait,
not carving
learn?
It.
I'm not going to do anything I have to learn how to do.
Carve
when it?
When
it comes to eating,
yeah.
I don't want to learn anything.
I don't want to. I'm not going to learn how to carve a turkey. That's going to be.
Are you going
to
get a coach? A turkey coach?
I don't know.
where
do
you learn
like,
this?
Pay attention. Watch how
pay
he,
attention.
Your brother. Watch how he chops.
Your
something.
Brother?
Right.
You got to be kidding. He's your role model?
No, he knows how to carve
he
a turkey.
He knows how, of course.
He's a carpenter.
He does.
My yes. brother was he's a contractor.
Did he break
carpenter.
Out one of those saws of his from the garage?
No, he didn't. He has like a special knife, like a hunting
special
knife.
Special knife, I'm sure.
Like a special hunting
like
knife.
Like Rambo.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
What a guy.
So we were up in New Jersey, Lee, if I didn't tell you.
That's the turkey capital of the world. They want turkeys there?
You know what's funny? When I was running a couple of months ago, I think I might have told this on the show. When I was running on down one of the side roads, there was a bunch of farms where I grew up. I saw wild turkey.
The liquor?
What?
Because there's a lot of drunks there.
I saw wild turkey running around. Like, I heard something in the brush, and I'm like, what is that? I look over, I'm like, a turkey? I never saw a turkey in my whole life in New Jersey. I don't think I've ever seen a wild turkey before in my life. Yeah, it was really crazy.
So
really
that's
bizarre.
What you had for Thanksgiving?
And they don't fly. Those things don't fly.
You caught it like Rocky?
I didn't.
And brought it home, and that's what you had for Thanksgiving?
Nope. But I will tell you this. So we sat down to eat, and for some reason, I only ate like a little bit during Thanksgiving. I didn't eat really like a lot of food. Were there fat people around you?
Because when there's fat people around me, I eat less because I start going, oh man, I don't want to be fat like that.
There's fat people around. But the thing is, it wasn't like I even cared. It was like, turkey's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah, me too. I love Thanksgiving.
And I told my mom, she's like, well, because I hate all the side dishes.
Yeah, me too.
It drives me crazy.
I just like mashed potatoes, peas, and turkey.
Well, I like,
that's it.
I like broccoli, cauliflower, and turkey. Yeah. Like, I want to, like, make me a big thing of broccoli and cauliflower and some turkey. I don't need any of the other.
I don't like
right.
that.
I don't like
stuffing,
the,
yams,
right.
so, cranberry.
So what
it.
Happened was is my mom made a big thing of broccoli, big thing of cauliflower, and I had turkey. I had, like, a couple of slices of turkey, and I had all the broccoli and the cauliflower. I was stuffed.
So we had matzo ball soup before.
We had matzo ball soup, too.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was too. I had matzo ball soup.
That's one ball, man,
you're done.
That's it.
It's game over, and that thing knocks you up. You can't. Yeah. Nothing moves
you
inside
can't
of you once. Yeah,
from that.
You can't.
That's the next day you got to.
But
work.
I did have some more turkey, like at around 11:30 at night.
Yeah,
I had a craving for turkey, so I had a little bit more.
That's my favorite part is there's leftover, and then you have a sandwich. Yeah, the whole thing.
I know.
It's days.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I think you should make two turkeys. You should make
well,
the turkey
you.
For your meal, and then you should have the turkey for the rest of the week. Right. So you get. You OD on that. So, it was really good. And then my sister brought, this was interesting.
Ham?
No.
We had a ham, too.
She brought, like, these pies. Like, she brought a peach pie. This from a home,
like
pie. From a homemade, from a farm.
Yeah,
like, a
she
farm
didn't
they make
it.
Them. Right, it was from a farm.
Yeah, right.
There was a cherry, peach, and apple. And they were killer. They were really good.
I don't
and
like
those
cooked
homemade.
Fruit.
You don't like cooked fruit?
No.
But we both share the joy for we like fruit in the dessert,
yes.
Right? Like topping. Like if you have ice cream,
sorbet.
Oh, I was thinking like ice cream, but you throw
gelato.
you throw some raspberries on top of that.
I don't like that either.
Oh, you don't like that either?
No.
I like. What about if you have your fruit with whipped cream?
No, I don't like fruit.
What about?
I like fruit by itself, fruit. I don't need any condiment with my fruit. I'm good with fruit.
This is a real tough time for fruit this time of year.
I know. There's pomegranates.
I just broke up
two big pomegranates. It took me like half an hour to get all those Avrils out.
But when you go to like...
It
when
was
you,
awesome. I just ate the whole thing. Two pomegranates.
Did
ate
you
all
do
of
your
them.
Famous...
yes, the patented
water?
Fat guy way to peel a pomegranate.
You want to explain to our listeners that may want to get a little...
Yes, it's
going
to be quick. I don't have time for it. You can go to the blog and check it out. You cut off...
You go to our blog and you search.
Search. That's the
most highly searched thing
that everybody searches. You trim both sides, top and bottom. You score around the edges, you get a bowl of water, and then you just start, you know, rubbing the little Avrils, and they will fall into the water. All the bad stuff floats to the top.
You start rubbing the pomegranate
seeds,
into
the seeds.
Like into a bucket? Like
into
what do you
a
do?
Bucket, a big bucket. And then all the seeds sink to the bottom, all that white stuff
that you don't like right.
floats to the top.
And you just
scoop
get rid
it
of
up,
that.
Drain the water. Game on.
Look at that. How many pomegranates have you had since the...
I've had two. I just bought them. They have them at Costco, like eight of them for like $10. And it's just,
oh, $2 a pop.
They're awesome. And they're huge.
They're big.
I love... Pomegranates are my favorite.
But, you know, this is the thing.
They're such a pain, though.
Yeah. You got to work. You got to work.
I'm telling you, it took me 30 minutes to peel two pomegranates.
I'm sure if you go to a place like in down...
I'm thinking of going to the Home Depot and getting some guy to do it for me. In the parking lot?
Right.
Listen, find the guy.
The economy is so bad right now. I guarantee you can find a couple of workers to come
guy.
To the house and get you some.
See these 20 pomegranates? I just want the seeds.
They're like, listen, we can paint the house.
I don't want any painting.
You see these pomegranates?
No leaves. Forget the leaves. I need the pomegranates.
You know, it's funny when you go like into a Publix now or a Kroger or any of these shopping centers. you go into the fruit department, it's like depressing.
Yeah.
You look at the, like, first of all, why do they have so much watermelon this time of year?
It's suspicious. There's no way the watermelon's growing.
That watermelon,
they're shipping that out from who knows where.
It's sad. It's like sad watermelon. It's like it looks at you. It's like doesn't even have a smile on it.
Well, I don't like that they're trying to sell you these personal watermelons that are the size of a softball.
Yeah, like that. That's.
I'm not
gonna pay juicy to me, right? That doesn't look juicy.
By the time I cut through that,
right,
there's gonna be nothing.
Yeah, the melon's the same thing. A cantaloupe, the melons, they look awful.
Yeah, I've had some bad honeydew. Honeydew, the worst. When you open that up and it tastes like you're like eating like the packing peanuts.
Right.
That's what it tastes like.
And this is the thing I hate what they do also at the supermarket. They do the potpourri fruit. Like they're like, oh, well, here, instead of giving you just all pineapple, let's give you a little bit of tangerines and a couple of sliced apples and a couple of blueberries. When that stuff combines, it tastes
like
terrible.
A mushy,
it's like a mush. It's like I don't know why they do that. You know,
they're trying to get rid of all these straggling fruits.
There should be a combination of fruit that can only be combined, because if they, somehow when they interact with one another, they turn bad right away.
The culprit is the pineapple, because pineapple is so overwhelmingly strong flavor. Yeah, when it's mixed with anything, it's like everything tastes like pineapple.
So they always throw a lot of pineapple.
That's filler,
right? That's always the one. But yeah, this time of year, it's not a real good time of the year for fruit. So, you know, you should probably stay with the apples. Yeah. Apples are good right now. What else is good right now?
Crisp apples.
What else is good right now? Apples are good.
Apples,
have you found anything else? Pomegranates are good.
Apples, pomegranates, that's all we're
eating. All you should be doing.
Grapes, maybe?
Grapes, you can always find good grapes. That doesn't go bad any time of year. But stay away from the watermelon, stay away from the cantaloupe, stay away from the honeydew. You're going to find yourself a lot less depressed if you go there. Lee, I had a really interesting experience. We talk about this a lot, about the headphone situation.
Yes.
That we now we're indoors.
The search for the perfect headphone.
Well, I don't use headphones in the summertime. I like to run without headphones. I like to just run. I don't
because
like that.
You like to commune with nature.
I just like to be outside. I don't need headphones. I don't need anything to, the warmth.
You
the
like
weather.
To hear the animals.
I like to hear the animals screaming. So anyway, but I've had a big problem trying to find headphones that actually stay in my ears, that don't fall out when I'm running. Typically, when my ears get sweaty, and I know this happens to a lot of people, I know this happens to the fat guy too, they fall out. So, and it's a pain. You're constantly adjusting them. I found this product called Earbuds, and it's spelled Y-U-R-B-U-D-S, earbuds.com. And this is the solution to headphones that fall out of your ears.
Yes, they lock in.
They lock in, and it's like a twisting thing. And what you do is...
do you have any lessons to put them in?
Yeah, I had to go. Yeah, I actually had to go on the site and actually...
Coach? You have a headphone coach?
Well, what happened is I went to... I think they sell them at Best Buy. They sell them at a place called Fleet Feet. There's a bunch of Fleet Feets all across the country. And they can custom fit you because there's different sizes. And I went in. There's one right by my house. And I went there. I was looking through... Oh, I think it was in one of my favorite magazines, Outside.
Yes.
And they were suggesting for holiday gifts. And they said... headphones that don't move out of ears. I'm like, oh, another here. Let me. So I went and I saw how much they were. I'm like, wow, these are really inexpensive, and they're rubberized cushions that fit over your actual headphones, or they actually sell the headphones with you. And
when they sell it with you, is it still over it so that if those headphones, you can take those things off.
You can take them off.
On
they're interchangeable with other ones to see if the ones that you have.
So that's the way to go to try it.
Right, to try it exactly, and it's like I think it was $30. So I typically spend about 70 or 80 bucks on a set of headphones.
Well, because you're rich.
Well, not
you're
that I'm rich. I'm
fitness.
I think I'm stupid is what I think I am, not really rich. So these actually fit so good, and I have used them at least about a dozen times now.
Wow.
And
no
problem whatsoever.
Not even a hint of a problem.
The only thing I needed to do is when they actually put them on for me,
right?
And I didn't really get a chance to like see what they did.
So
I got confused on how to put them in.
Yeah.
So I had to go back to the website. There's an instructional to show you what you do. It's like a 30-second thing. Boom, I'm done. I'm an expert on them now. And they're fantastic. So make sure you go to Earbuds, YURBUDS.com. Hopefully they'll send us some free ones if they find out that we like them.
We'll give them away to the host of the show.
Right. Not to the listeners, to the host. And that'd be great. My kid just got one of those things, Lee. The Move? Thing with PlayStation?
Oh, you should have told me I got a free one.
You're kidding me. No, you did.
I did. We went to a PlayStation demonstration. I got a free one.
What'd you think?
Nothing.
Oh, it's nothing to be excited about?
It's like the Wii. I mean, it's their version of the Wii.
It's not any better?
No.
Oh, it's the same crap?
We were thinking of getting the Kinetic for Microsoft.
That's right. That's what you were talking about. That's what I was thinking of. So that's not the same thing.
No, the Kinetic has no remote.
Oh, that's what we need to get.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to, you know, because my kid's like going, I got the move. I'm like, all right, I'll check it out later on. I'm going to see it later on and tell you what I think. Okay, let's bring our first guest today. We have with us Rob Cooper. He is the former fat guy, or really formerfatguy.com. Rob's on our show. He lost over 300 pounds or something like that.
That's two of you, right?
Yeah.
He
lost two of me over 2.5 years for doing this. 288 pounds he lost. And he went from, you know, cab driver. Now he's skydiving, whitewater rafting, bungee jumping, climbing mountains. He's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. He's climbed Mount Everest.
But don't you really want to know about his cab driving days?
Yeah, and now I want to know about that, but I want to know, first of all, the reason why we have him on is because when you search fat guy, you used to be...
I used to come up. Now he comes up.
Now he comes up.
And
so
he's a former fat guy.
He surpassed you, and he's not even fat anymore, and you're still fat.
I know, it's a ripoff.
I don't think it's fair. Anyways, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Rob, first of all, how did you surpass the fat guy? I want to know. What would you do?
He's an SEO genius.
How did I get that big?
No, how did you get past the fat guy in the Google search? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's sort of what I do, a little bit of a hobby.
Oh, you're smart and no longer fat. That's sure. Awesome. Sure. So
it's not by accident, let's just say.
You had to do work for that.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Now tell us, how did you get fat? How'd you get to 475? And then
that's pretty impressive.
That's right. That's
and
not
why,
for,
why'd you quit before 500? That's really what I want to know.
Yeah,
that's what I asked myself too. I said I should have put on the extra 25 pounds.
Or you should lie about it at least.
Right. You should have said five.
Yeah. I yo-yoed my way, actually. I yo-yo dieted. I was it all started back when I was in grade five. I think was when I was 175 pounds in grade five, and my mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor said not to worry about it, that I would grow into it. And then just after that, I started playing hockey in junior high and kept it at bay. And then I got into a new school and a little new kind of teenager stress and then gained some weight. And then I dropped it all just before graduation from grade 12 and kept it off. Then I went to university, put some of it back on, and then I set the land speed record when I moved to Edmonton to become a cab driver and put on about 200 pounds in 2 years.
Oh, my God. That's 100 pounds a year.
Say that again?
100 pounds a year.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was a land speed record. But I was on multiple diets. I was on a diet in grade 5. I was on a diet in grade 7, diet in grade 9, diet in grade 12, just constantly doing different things, dropping and gaining. And the simple fact is that diets don't work. You basically have to choose a healthy lifestyle and exercise and make it a daily thing instead of an objective. You know, I kind of teach people, instead of a weight loss program, I teach people to take charge of their health and think about their health. And that's what happened to me when I hit the 475. Is I was 21, and I had what I thought was a heart attack. And it freaked me out. It wasn't a heart attack, I'll just be clear about that, but it was enough of an incident that scared me. But I didn't do anything until 2 days later when it happened again, except it was 10 times worse. And then I actually didn't think I had a problem. I didn't think that I was overweight. I didn't think I had to lose weight. My thought process was that I need to improve my health. And
right.
That was the direction I went. So everything I learned was about natural health, improving health. And I got put on this path of learning natural principles. And I just thank the universe for providing that to me, that was my direction. It wasn't a fad. It was time-tested, proven things that have been around since the beginning of time that work.
Now, and, Rob, when you're was there like a day that you woke, like, was there a day that was a turning point?
Yeah, it was this fake heart attack.
Yeah.
That was when you were at 475?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now how many years have you kept this stuff
and
off?
And just,
now?
Rob, so you know, the universe says you're welcome.
thank you. what happened was over the 2.5 years when I dropped the weight, I learned multiple things, applied them, and then I kept what worked and I discarded what didn't. And I ended up being, I'm not now, but I'm just going to say part of my story is that I ended up becoming a vegetarian for 12 years and I was vegan for two of that. So I lived on steamed vegetables, lentils, and rice for a good number of years. And that's not
how vegan. Did you decide to call it vegan instead of vegan? How did that come about?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
That's right. That's called the fat guy busting chops. That's how fat guy busting chops.
I'll bust back.
Now,
So go ahead.
So when you're okay, so you're at 475. You said there were some natural principles, some things that you did that helped you lose weight. What were the big rocks? What were the things that you first said, I got to start doing this, and this?
Sure. The very first thing was a principle called food combining. And I say to this day that Harvey and Marilyn Diamond are some of my biggest mentors, and I'm still in contact with Harvey every other month basis. He's a great guy, has great teachings. And what I learned from that series of books, the book is Fit for Life, was simply what it really did was it woke me up to the fact that, and you have to remember, I knew nothing about health, nutrition, food, anything. Like this was just stuff that was filling the hole before. And what Fit for Life really taught me was that we have to look at our body as a machine, and what we're eating is the fuel for the machine.
Right.
And the principles in there were about live foods, that live food begets life. You know, it becomes our cells. So the cleaner the food, the better the food, then we would create better cells. We would vibrate at a higher rate. We'd have better mental clarity. We would sleep better. Just all these things. The body is supposed to work the way it's supposed to work. The other principles in there, that one of the basic things I learned at 475 was about the body's need to clean itself and this cleansing process. So part of eating the live foods and drinking clean water and pure water and moving the body and just simply walking even. Walking is that's something that human beings have done for tens of thousands of years.
Now, at 475, were you basically just completely sedentary? Were you not doing anything other than...
Oh, yeah, I was a cab driver. All I did was I would get out of bed, roll out of bed, I would walk to the car, and I would drive. And then I would walk from parking the car into a restaurant, and that was all I did. So I was sitting, and I was... I played video games and didn't move at all.
And
now, when you're that big, you know, any kind of movement... really stresses the body. I mean, just even holding yourself upright, if you're shopping or walking, I don't know if you'll notice this, but I know a lot of big guys will say this, that eventually the back starts to go, and you'd have to lean over something just to support yourself to give your back a rest, like doing dishes. If you stand in front of the sink doing dishes, eventually it starts to wear on you. So, yeah, sitting is a blessing when you're that big.
Now, also it says here that you traded drug use for bodybuilding, and you put on over 60 pounds of lean muscle. Because I know right now that the fat guy here is going to say, trading in drug use, that couldn't have been smart. He's pro drugs. He likes the recreational and pharmaceutical drugs for sure.
Yeah.
So how'd you get into bodybuilding? Is that something – because that's kind of – you know, the body – I can understand all this other activity, the skydiving, the whitewater rafting. You're outside. You're with nature. You're living – now, what are you in? You're in Canada, Toronto. Is that where you're living? Is that where you're at?
Edmonton.
Beautiful place. Great place to be. But bodybuilding, that's like for mishuganas. That's like people looking in a mirror. Yeah. They're looking at – they're oiling themselves up. They're putting tanning cream on.
Yeah. It's not quite that advanced. What I say, I'm a bodybuilder because that was my roots. I started doing it when I was in grade 7.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, messing around, reading Muscle and Fitness. My heroes were Lou Ferrigno and Arnold and that kind of thing.
Right.
The older guys, Mike Mentzer. And so before the whole advent of functional training and body weight and cross training and all these things, bodybuilding was what there was. So I say that I got into bodybuilding because I was training body parts just to work them, build some muscle mass, that kind of thing. So I said that's what I did then, but that's not what I do now by any stretch of the means. I change my fitness routine as often as I change how I eat, actually.
So right.
I cycle things.
Now, so you're going to Mount Kilimanjaro. You're doing – how did you – that? Tell me about the process of going from sedentary to like – now you're like an outdoorsman. You're like an adventurer.
Yeah, sort of. Well, it started actually when I first lost the weight and got down to my lowest at 188. I was pretty much skin and bones, and I was still carrying quite a bit of fat at the time. I wasn't by any means lean. I had no muscle at all, remember. But I was so small, We had gone to, I'm 6'2", so 188 is pretty low for me. But I had we had gone to a convention in California, and friends of mine went to Disney World, Disneyland there, and I had was running around getting all the rides and doing the whole thing. And my friends, remember this, I was 23, so I was still pretty young, or a little bit older. I wasn't a kid anyway.
Right.
And my friends were saying, like, why, even when they stopped and rested, I was still running around, literally getting off the ride and running back to the start. And they said, you know, why are you so fascinated by this? And I said, I've never been able to fit in the chairs. I've never been able to fit on the ride. So this is a blast. And
right.
Really that's what happened was is when I was doing the drugs and smoking pot and driving taxi, I was always thinking about all these things I wanted to do but never did them. So now that I lost the weight and then I started getting more fit, I started just getting a kick out of all these things I could do. And, you know, the whitewater rafting was just some adrenaline stuff. The bungee jumping
right.
was, you know, more adrenaline. Same with skydiving. And then I like hiking and backpacking, and then somebody asked me to raise some funds to go do Kilimanjaro. So we, the group of us actually raised $100,000 for some African charities over there. And then after we were at the top of Kilimanjaro, somebody said, hey, we should go do Everest Base Camp. And so I want to clarify, it's Everest Base Camp is where I was, not the top.
Listen,
that's a hotel near Mount Everest.
Even if you're near Mount Everest, I don't care if you can even see it. To me, that's you're at altitude. You're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it was high. And then I'm looking forward to Aconcagua next a year from this January.
Now, what about what do you think about the guy? What's his name? The guy who cut off his arm to who is
James Franco.
Right. James Franco is the guy who's playing him. Would you be able to do that if you're now mountain climbing and you got your arm stuck in between a boulder? Would you be able to chop it off? And
I would say that I would be able to, just because, you know, I've been watching Survivor, just the show Survivor, and I look at these people complaining about weather conditions and being cold and stuff, and I
right.
really think it would be a walk in the park. Like, to me, I roll with the punches. You know, it's I go with the flow. I'm like water, and whatever happens, happens. And I've lived off my backpacking in the backcountry for a week at a time, and that's certainly not Survivor for 30 days. But I really think that, you know, if I'm out somewhere and something happens, I got to do what I got to do. So I'd say that I could do it.
Now, Rob, tell us about the website, formerfatguy.com, and Fat Loss Fundamentals. What's on there that people can learn from, and you can help other people?
Well, formerfatguy.com has been around since about 1995, and as its name since 1998. And originally, it was a place just to keep digital pictures of my before, because nobody believed it. When I told them, they said there was no way. So I just said, you know, just go to this website, and my pictures are there, because they always want to see pictures, proof.
Right.
So that's originally what it became to be, was the before and after kind of place. And then it was then it became just kind of what I was doing. As I was learning, I was writing about it. So there's information on there that has to do with natural health. Some things conflict, other things. Some things I'm not doing anymore. I'm doing something new. But it became this clearinghouse of just natural health stuff that I learned and applied, kind of deal. And some thoughts. I recently changed it to a WordPress platform, so it's easier for commenting and that kind of stuff. But that's mostly some natural health stuff, some recipes, some good healthy recipes, that kind of thing.
Okay, that's on formerfatguy.com.
Right. Now, Fat Loss Fundamentals is a book that I wrote. People kept asking me, you know, for my thoughts and what I did and how I did it, and they find me to be motivational, and they wanted to know what my system was. And I think it's unique in a way that most people are looking at cutting calories and you know, eating protein and rice and vegetables and that kind of stuff or whatever. Mine is a little bit different. And what I did was I decided to put it into a 12-week program, and they go through it step by step, and you can't read ahead. So
you can't.
Instead of a book where you get the whole thing and you read the whole thing and you pick and choose what you want to do, this is different. You get week one, and there's one or two things to do. There's one principle. You do one thing, and you apply that thing for 10 days.
Oh, I like that, Lee.
Right.
Stealing that. Thanks.
That's great.
And then next week you get the second thing, and you just add it to the first thing. So what this does is it's designed for people who are heavier, who don't know how to cook, don't know how to shop, or are afraid to go in, or afraid to find places like these natural food stores to get the stuff, because you really don't know. If you're familiar with TV dinners or, you know, pizza or whatever, you don't know how to cook, a whole book could be overwhelming. So what this does is it completely changes your fridge and your pantry over the course of 12 weeks, and you learn things step by step by step. So it's the principle.
It's the fundamentals.
Mindset, right. Yeah, and over 12 weeks.
Over 12 weeks.
It takes you through a place where you learn, and you should be completely converted at the end of 12 weeks. And then, after 12 weeks, then you've got these tools at your fingertips that no matter what else you do in the rest of your life, you can make better decisions because you've had this 12-week coaching. And I was going to call it food school. It's kind of like the basics of stuff, along with the natural principles. And then you just know why you're making these decisions and why to do things a certain way. And then if you choose to do something, then you've made a choice.
That's right. I like that song. Lady, you get that? You get that? If you choose, that's you've made a choice.
If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
That's right. Rob, listen, we really appreciate you coming on our show today, taking time out of your schedule. The website's formerfatguy.com, fatlossfundamentals.com, and you give tips on people how to lose weight. Maybe somehow you can give the fat guy tips,
on how to become better
searchable on Google as well.
yeah, I'll send you an email on
that. There you go. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
You bet. You too.
Take care. That's Rob Cooper. Check him out at formerfatguy.com and fatlossfundamentals.com. Also, when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our New York Times bestseller.
New York Times?
Yes.
Or New Jersey Sun
New Jersey
Times
Monthly
Freehold Neighborhood
Newsletter. Yes, bestseller.
Schaffrin 35 Gazette.
35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. It's at your books. It's everywhere right now. It's at where, Lee? Barnes & Noble. It's at Amazon.
It's Barnes or Noble. It's not at both. It's Barnes or Noble.
I've got at least 100 at my house. If you want to call me, I can actually send you a copy as well. And also go to our website, become one of our Facebook friends. And who knows? You may get a present from us.
A
prize.
Not
right,
a
Lee?
Book.
DVDs, Lee? What do we got Something. This What do we
lots
got this
of
week?
DVDs.
Got lots of DVDs, lots of stuff out there.
Yeah, I just sent that guy who was our 500th fan
a whole bunch of stuff.
A box of stuff.
And I just got a whole bunch of DVDs in as
Did he thank us for that?
Yes, I think he did. I know that's a big buzz. You don't like that.
Look,
people don't thank you. You get angry.
That bugs me.
You don't like that. Okay, let's bring on our next guest today. We have with us Dr. Daniel Stein. He is a gynecologist. He is the founder of the Stein Medical Institute and the Foundation for
Intimacy. Is he the guy that did the voiceover in Wonder Years?
No, that's Ben Stein.
No.
Was that Ben Stein? I don't know. I don't know who that was. But anyway, he has dedicated his entire
Bueller.
Career.
Bueller.
Anyone? Anyone?
Hi, it's Dr. Stein.
Dr. Stein, welcome to the show.
I couldn't help but chuckling. I guess Ben Stein and Dan Stein, you'd have to be confusing money for sex. Of course we wouldn't want to.
I know,
that.
But
in
I know.
In my life, that's how it always is, confusing money and sex. One doesn't happen without the other.
I thought you were talking about marriage.
Dr. Stein, welcome to the show. You also have a new product out. It is called it's called Dan E. Is that correct?
Yeah, Dan-E.
There you go.
Yep.
And this is a combination of hormones, herbs, vitamins and minerals to help restore women's energy, their passion, healthy hormonal balance. You've been working with women for a long, long time. You're going to medical school and you're going, okay, I'm going to be a doctor. What am I going to do?
Proctologist, urologist, gynecologist.
Okay,
that's a tough choice. Right?
I think that the choice that you chose has a lot to say about you as a person. Am I wrong about that?
I chose women's healthcare because it allows you to take care of women through all stages of life and develop a relationship that takes them from their first exam as a teenager through the childbearing years and childbirth and into the post-reproductive years where hormone therapy and surgery for problems that develop later in life occur. So it really capitalizes on the compassion and connection of the old-style family practitioner, but allows you to have the expertise of a specialist. So that's why I chose OBGYN.
I gotcha.
And then as a result of... I founded the first infertility institute in the southern United States, the Florida Fertility Institute. And the result of the pressures that couples face going through infertility workups, which is really exhaustive and quite performance-based. I mean, you have to come in and give me a sperm sample at 7 in the morning, and you better do it because your wife's on the operating table.
Not a good set of circumstances.
You know, it revealed to me the tremendous ignorance and prejudice that we have about issues of intimacy. And frankly, I had some 50,000 couple patients and looked through them and realized that intimacy issues and sexual issues are so important and so associated with how we generally feel in life, the gestalt of well-being, mood, energy, sadness. Yesterday I gave a radio show on seasonal affective disorder and how that affects people. So I, for years, and I must correct you, Danny.com, which is now available in GNCs nationwide, is a revolutionary product. I've been, and it's not a hormone, and therefore it is not associated with the risks of estrogen or testosterone, estrogen being the cardiovascular or breast cancer risks, and testosterone, the oily skin, acne, and hair growth.
Can I pay extra to get some hormones in there?
Well, yeah, actually, it's a patented or patent-pending formula that contains the nutritional building blocks of hormones, DHEA and pregnenolone, in a normal average daily dose for women, combined with all-natural herbs, vitamins, and minerals, all supportive of energy, mood, decreased irritability, decreased bouts of anger. It kind of buffers the decline in hormones which occur premenstrually and we call premenstrual syndrome and premenopausally and menopausally where the hormone levels are low. It provides the nutritional substrate for building hormones in a very, very healthy dietary supplement with no caffeine and no stimulants at all.
So this is a supplement that you don't need a prescription for. You don't need to go to your doctor to pick this up.
This is an over-the-counter product. We've just completed the independent double-blind clinical trials. There were no significant side effects. This is available over-the-counter, and it's really revolutionary. As I said, it's a patented formula. I myself have prescribed compounded, individualized prescriptions. You know, women's hormones are as unique as their thumbprint. We can't just prescribe one dose for everybody like general practitioners tend to do. It's a gross oversimplification. It's like putting 10,000 women in size 5 shoes. They put 10,000
right.
women in the Women's House Initiative on one dose of Premarin, which is pregnant mare urine. In 10 million years of evolution, we've never seen pregnant mare urine in our GI tract, much less absorbed it and try and convert it to estrogen. And then they concluded that this horse urine-derived estrogen caused 0.8% heart disease and breast cancer increase, but they weren't using the real thing, nor were they individualizing it.
Right.
And then they were using medroxyprogesterone acetate, the other as the progestogen, which is a petroleum byproduct.
Right.
You might as well grind up your acetate shirt and take it. So I just decided in frustration after 30 years of practicing gynecology to let people help themselves. I'm a big believer in diet, a big believer in exercise, a big believer that intimacy helps keep us healthy. And so I put together, after 30 years of experience, a combination of pro-hormones, nutritional building blocks of hormones that allow us to optimize our own hormone production naturally with pro-sexual and pro-energy herbs and nutrients such as Korean ginseng and black cohosh and maca, and damiana, horny goat weed. All of these are known to boost female energy and mood.
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Stein, I actually gave some of this to the fat guy. I didn't tell him what it was because he usually just believes anything I say anyway. And I got to tell him, it has enhanced his mood, and I noticed him being very sexually attracted to me the last 2 weeks or so.
And I'm humping the microphone as we speak.
But we should say this is not for males. This is for females.
Oh, great.
This is not
Thanks.
Something you can
– No, this is the very first
I think I'm lactating, doctor. I'm lactating.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that can be fun, too. Unfortunately, you know, I don't think as a society we walk the walk we talk. I mean, frankly, the New York Times said what Americans really need is medical help to juice up their sex lives. And the truth is we've got Viagra and Levitra, and a half a dozen testosterone for men prescriptions have gone up 2,700% since 1992. Men are finally getting it that when you get older, your testosterone goes down. But what are we doing for women? Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, the FDA has turned down twice anything that might help improve a woman's energy and mood and libido. Once was the female testosterone 2 years, and last year another drug, German company, just dropped because the research the FDA required was more costly than the profits they were likely to make. So that's why I decided to go the all-natural nutritional supplement route with Danny, because it's accessible to everyone. You don't need a prescription. You don't have to visit a doctor. It's a moderate dosing of vital nutrients that boost energy naturally without the stimulants like caffeine or Ephedra, which has recently become legal once again after it was taken off the market as a diet supplement.
Right. Now,
so,
Dr. Stein.
I mean, it's been a lifelong cause of mine, and to be honest with you, I've written books about it, and the Foundation for Intimacy, we looked at the psychological and as well as the physical aspects of both male and female intimacy. And we came to the conclusion that you got to take care of yourself today. And a nutritional supplement is pretty much an essential part of healthy living, just as much as diet, exercise, and sleep. Our food. Go ahead.
Dr. Stein, before we leave, any tips that you can give, other than obviously we want people to check out the new supplement that you've created, Danny, any tips that you have for women that might be struggling right now with, low energy? They might be struggling a little bit with, what should they know about checking thyroid levels or checking hormonal levels? Anything that you can recommend to a female, in terms of what they should be doing and who they should be seeing?
Sure. A lack of energy and moodiness, irritability, quick to draw, anger or temper, these are all signs of our times. They're also signs of low hormones. And the first step, in my opinion, is to take a supplement that helps you optimize your own natural production, like day and night energy, which Danny stands for, energy during the day to do the work you need to do and energy at night to do what you want to do with your partner. Other than that, if you go to a doctor and order the blood tests, and I do not think saliva tests, even though they're far less expensive, are accurate, we, as a matter of fact, would send samples in from the same patient at the same time and get two vastly different results. So it's kind of a waste of money to do saliva tests. You need to do radioimmunoassay blood tests of estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, DHEAS, free and total thyroid, and TSH. If you just get a TSH, which is one of the most common tests, the range of normal is so broad that 40% of people that are hypothyroid, that do put on weight,
right,
and can't seem to control it, they aren't diagnosed.
Right.
A simple tip for your audience is to take your resting body temperature first thing in the morning. And if it's under normal, 98.6 being normal, if it's 97 or something like that for 5 to 7 days in a row, you probably have an underactive thyroid. That means the fuel in your fireplace, the rate of burning your fuel is dampened. So calories you take in will be stored more. You'll put on more weight. You'll have less energy, less vim and vigor.
Right.
And, of course, Danny won't treat thyroid, hypothyroidism. So you need to go in and get your doctor to be a little more thorough than ordering that simple screening test, the TSH. Have him order the free levels of thyroid hormone that really are revealing of what your thyroid gland is doing.
Dr. Stein, that's great information. The product is called Danny. It's for women, dan-e.com. You can go check it out. It's at all your
GNC stores as well. And also, you've written a book, Passionate Sex, Discover the Special Power in You as well. Do you have another website for personally for you as well? Can people check out your facility as well?
Sure. There's my personal website is steinmed.com, just like Steinmart, only medicine.
I like that.
I actually got sued over that one, but they couldn't take my name away. So we've got steinmed.com. And the Foundation for Intimacy, Foundation for Intimacy, all one word. There's a lot of helpful information there. And, of course, Danny, DAN-E.com, has got a lot of good data, and the research findings are there as well.
Dr. Stein, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much. Have a great holiday, and we look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to it, too.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Daniel Stein. He is the founder of the Stein Medical Institute and the Foundation for Intimacy. Check out the product, Danny, at dan-e.com. And when you're online, make sure you check out drfitnessandthefatguy.com. You're going to get great information. You can see what's upcomingly. We are going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee in the end of January.
And we have a book signing earlier than that?
Yes, we have a book signing earlier than that. I think the week before in Woodstock, Georgia. We will be there. And let's see. What will we be doing there? Signing books?
Signing books.
Any sports-related activities? Juggling? Should we
we'll
juggle?
We'll do a little juggling.
We'll do a little juggling.
Little weight loss juggling.
Little weight loss juggling. What else should we be doing? Should we take our tandem bike up there and
we'll
go?
Ride it up there. That's a good idea.
Ride our bike up to Woodstock, Georgia. Yeah, we'll get
we
killed.
We should leave now.
Not a good place to ride your bike in Atlanta, Georgia, I'll tell you that. It's not like they have lots of places that are friendly for us. But we'll check it out. We'll try. Okay, Lee, let's bring on our headliner today. We're excited to have with us Dr. Christopher Tirada. We met him up in New York, Lee. Remember? Maybe a year ago.
How can I forget?
He has a product. He's actually a pediatric specialist in Florida at the Miami Children's Hospital, and he's also the CEO for the American Scientific Company. And they created a great little product here. And this, the thing I like about this is I actually recently had – I bought two thermometers for the house.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, first of all, I think like the thermometer
you,
is like –
you need to make sure they're accurate. You take an average of the
now,
two.
Now, here's what happened. The thermometers. My wife just takes the thermometer. I bought two digital thermometers.
Rectal?
No, just a regular oral thermometer. But my wife and the kids, they use this thing like it's like candy. Because my wife's always paranoid about the kids being sick.
Yes.
But they don't use those plastic tips on them.
How they're getting sick, just by taking their temperature.
Well, everybody's getting sick. Right, exactly. So I had to get my own thermometer so I wouldn't mix in. But I know they
How
found
often
mine.
Do you take your
Never.
Temperature.
I barely take it. But now that I have the kids med.
If you only have a rectal thermometer, it'll kind of put an end to that. They won't be taking their
it'll
temperature
solve
all
the
time.
Problem. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about his new product. Dr. Tirada, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Now, did you hear that? Were you just listening to that? My story about thermometers in the house. Is that a comment?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed the banter you guys were engaging
now,
in.
Is that a common problem with people with thermometers? They don't know how to read them. They can't see them. And, is that a problem where people, they don't clean them?
Well, that is a problem. There are different types of thermometers on the market, and they all have their pros and cons, and they all need to be used properly to get an accurate temperature. And I'll start with that caveat. But we think that we have, the next new advance in thermometry in the KidsMed 5-in-1 non-contact thermometer, which allows a mother or parent to take the temperature of their child or any patient for that matter without actually ever making any skin contact. So I think everyone can see the advantages in that, particularly with small children.
Right. My wife uses her hand as her thermometer. She's like, and I'm like, I can't.
How does she calibrate that?
I have no idea, but somehow she's always right, and somehow it never correlates with the kid being sick. But somehow.
Well, I would say as a physician that is a very, very poor way to take the temperature. It's not taking the temperature at all. And I would highly advise your wife and all mothers out there to actually purchase a thermometer. As a pediatric subspecialist, I would highly recommend that. I think that's critical for every home to have a thermometer. I would never take a phone call from a mother, who's telling me her child is febrile or feverish based on her putting the hand on the forehead.
Right.
I mean, that is not the way to take the temperature.
And she uses her ear as a stethoscope.
Well, she's a versatile lady, I guess.
So now, first of all, the thermometer, there's many uses for it as well. Obviously, it being 5-in-1. But one of the things...
What are the five things?
Well, one of the things that you can also use thermometers for, you know, is one of those things where even for the elderly, I would think that would be an important thing because...
it gives them something to do instead of TV. They can,
no.
Because it's always hot in their house.
No, that's not true. But sometimes they lose the ability to detect certain temperature. And they get in the shower. The shower might be too hot. Or water they're about to drink or food that they may take may be too hot. Is that correct, Doc?
That's correct, and that's a prevalent problem, particularly people with diabetes, because they get something called a diabetic neuropathy, which can impair their ability to, you know, their sensation. The 5-in-1 allows us to take the temperature of the food, the baby's bottle, bath water, and the room temperature also. You can take the temperature of inanimate objects. You can play with it and take the temperature of your light bulbs, your cold beer, your computer screen, whatever you'd like. But that is a huge advantage in this device. It's one of the clinical devices that allows you to take the temperature of inanimate objects. And I think, as you just described, that's very important for even elderly people, particularly people with diabetes,
right?
To do. It's since it's, there's no skin contact, it's completely not hygienic. No disposables are required, so it's less expensive. And kids don't like things put in their ears. They don't like to put things in their mouth. They don't like things put in their behind.
Right.
This allows you to take the temperature of a sleeping child without waking them up, a combative child, with ease.
Now, what made you come up with this product, Doc? What was the would you just find? I wish I had this type of thing that I could use in your private practice, or was something from a personal standpoint. How did you come up with designing this?
Well, this is an advance on other infrared thermometers. The prototype infrared thermometer is the ear thermometer, and then there's the forehead thermometer, and this is the next step or advance in that idea. You know, a thermometer that without any skin contact whatsoever. Being a pediatric subspecialist, I saw the problems firsthand of taking accurate temperatures in particularly preschool children, who are the most uncooperative cohort in taking temperatures. And, you know, again, they don't like things put in their mouth. They don't like things put in their ear. They don't like things put in their behind. You know, the default way to take a temperature in that age group is axillary or under the arm. And
right.
I just don't think that's a very accurate place or way to take the temperature. So that was the genesis and birth of the non-contact thermometer, because it allows people to take the temperature of their combative, uncooperative child without any skin contact. So it, you know, solves a huge problem.
Now,
it's as accurate as any other thermometer on the market.
Now, how long do you have to keep the actual thermometer in place? Let's say you're taking a temperature of the forehead, or is that where you is that actually where you recommend?
Yeah, where
taking,
do you aim it?
Where do you where's the place? The
center of the forehead, you know, right between the above between the eyebrows. The reading is instant. I mean,
instant.
You press the button and you get it. I mean, it's a fraction of a second you get a reading.
Oh, that's perfect. So you don't have to keep the thermometer stuck in the mouth for a couple of minutes or so.
And that's, again, one of the huge advantages of this thermometer. With oral or rectal thermometers, even the quicker digital thermometers that have much faster microprocessors now, they still take a finite amount of time with a squirming child. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that. It can be difficult and adversely impact the accuracy of your reading. They don't like things put in their ear. This is the
right.
most advanced, best thermometer on the market.
Now, you also have another product that you were telling me about earlier that you're developing at American Scientific. What was that again?
That's the disintegrator. But before we go on to that, I just want to mention to your radio audience that you can find a host of information about this product on our websites. www.kidsmed.com and americansci.com. It's available at amazon.com, CVS, cvs.com, Fred Meyer, Shopko, Dwayne Reed, And coming to more and more retail stores throughout the country and world in the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, we're going to post a picture of it on our website today. It's it kind of looks like a remote control. That's a that's
yes.
It looks like my TiVo remote.
So, but yeah, the great easy product, and it's one of those things that makes life a lot easier, especially if you're a parent, and easy to check temperature. Matter of fact, I'm going to make this part of the rule now every night before kids go to bed.
Take their temperature.
I'm going to scan their heads.
See if they're sick.
Well, my wife, when my kids are teenagers now, she would have died to have this device when my kids were toddlers.
Yeah, you probably came up with this product. You're like, honey, look at this. Great. She's like, oh, great. Now you come up with this. You
yeah,
know?
Well, exactly. That's the kind of the response I got.
Now, tell us about your other product that you're developing, too. It's called the Disintegrator.
Developed. It's not developing. We've developed it. It's a disintegrator. It's the only FDA-approved, EPA-recommended needle destruction device for home use.
Does it work with humans? Can you destroy humans with it? Because the fact
unfortunately not. It's just for the needles and syringes for patients who take home injectables.
Oh, wow.
So this is for use with patients who take insulin, diabetics, MS patients taking beta interferon,
right.
Children taking growth hormone, and it allows the customer to dispose of their needle and syringe in an environmentally and ecologically safe manner.
How do they do it now without this device?
They have to have a
hazard. You're not supposed to throw contaminated right. syringes into the regular trash.
Right.
You're supposed to put them in these hard plastic containers and then take them to specific biohazard disposal sites.
Right.
And it's expensive and inconvenient. And this removes the expense and removes the inconvenience for people who take home injectables. I mean, many people, unfortunately, do throw their contaminated syringes
right.
in the regular trash, but they're not supposed to do that.
Right. Dr. Tirotta, you're always thinking. You're always coming up with great ideas.
Maybe you can come up with something to get kids eat vegetables.
Yeah, can you do anything to make kids eat vegetables?
Maybe with that thermometer, can like shoot them with something like a taser.
Make it taste like candy.
That's actually a very good idea. I can see if we can have our R&D department
work on that
to make their kids eat vegetables.
Well, it's been.
I mean, a better idea would maybe we can figure out a device on how to stop wives from using credit cards.
Wow. You want to go there, doctor? I don't know if you want to go there.
I like that one. That's a good one. That would save – I don't know if the divorce attorneys would go for that, but it sounds like a great product. I go for that.
But we're constantly thinking at our company of new and innovative ways and products and services to make the lives of children and families safer, happier, and easier. That's our motto. And that's what American Scientific Resources and Kids Med is all about.
And the website, again, is Kids with a Z, Kids Med.
AIDZMED.com and American Sci, American, exactly as it spells, SCI.com.
Sounds great. Dr. Tirotta, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And great stuff. And continued success with the thermometer and the disintegrator as well. We look forward to talking in the near future. To give us a call if anything new you develop, especially that vegetable thing.
Or that portable liposuction product. Also,
it was a pleasure being on the show, gentlemen. And I look forward to being invited back.
Thanks so much. Take care. Have a great holiday.
Take care.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Christopher Tirotta. Check him out at kidsmed.com. This is the thermometer, the 5-in-1 non-contact thermometer.
Now.
Lee, I'm taking your temperature across the room.
Am I sick?
No, but it says you're 13 years old and you need to lose 145 pounds.
Exactly.
This is a great thermometer, and I'm taking this one. This is mine.
No kidding. Why don't you call him and get me one now?
Nope. You're done. If you want to use it, you come over to the house.
It'd probably wear out the batteries in your house.
No kidding. My wife's going to love me. Actually, I think I'm going to wrap this for Hanukkah. I'm going to put this for Hanukkah.
It's a good stocking stuffer.
Check out Dr. Tirotta's products at kidsmed.com and AmericanSciSCI.com. And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Join right now. Become one of our Facebook fans. You don't know what could happen. You could get a holiday gift right now if you become at least one of our new Facebook fans. And also check out our new book, 35 Things to Know About Raising Active Kids. It's something like that. I don't know if that's the exact title,
it's
but
a lot
it's
of words.
Something like that. A lot
it's
of words.
To that effect. Active
and,
Kids, 35.
And it's a good book. I wrote it. I know it's good. It's a lot of great information. And it's funny because the fat guy wrote the funny stuff in it. And that's what we have.
Lee, that is our show today. I want to thank all of our guests for coming on. I want to thank the fat guy, the former fat guy, Rob Cooper. Check him out at formerfatguy.com and fatlossfundamentals.com.
Did you notice that?
It's Canadian.
That's what that
Ew.
Was.
Ew.
Ew.
You didn't. He said he was from. You weren't even listening.
I, you know.
What do you do when we do the show?
I was.
You're doing.
I was dozing off on some of that. It wasn't one of our best.
I know. Dr. Daniel Stein, I want to thank as well. Check out his product, Dan E. Lee, let me know how you feel with this product that you were taking. It that's designed for women.
My boobs are growing.
Check it out at dan-e.com and check out the.
My kid calls them moobs.
Moobs.
Man,
man
boobs.
Moobs. This is at the Stein Medical Institute. Check out steinmed.com. Don't go to Steinmart. You might get sued.
Don't ask for it there.
Don't ask for it there. That's pretty funny. Also want to thank Dr. Christopher Tirada. Check out the 5-in-1 digital thermometer, the 5-in-1 non-contact thermometer at KidsMed with a Z, kidsmed.com. That's all I got today, Lee. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffrin. Every week we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.